Broken Bulbs is a proud member of the CreateVine and is presented by Williams Rutledge.
We have to cover this story. And I said, I don't want to cover this story. This guy is a conspiracy theorist and a chucklehead to boot. And she said, here's his phone number. Just call him, get him on the record, and then call up the Transportation Security Administration, the TSA, get them on the record.
Alex Williams here to welcome you back to Broken Bulbs, the show for entrepreneurs, creators, and builders who need to keep it real. Today, I'm joined by Dusty Weiss. Now, get this. Dusty is the founder of PodCamp Media. He hosts the incredible podcast Lead Balloon, and he has been working in radio and journalism for nearly 20 years. But Dusty was a little fired up in his younger years, and did some things that got him scared to face the TSA. That's coming up after the break. Broken Bulbs is the newest podcast from Mecco Radio. And since we're new, we're still needing to grow. One of the biggest ways that you can help us do that is by leaving a review. It's simple, it's free, and you can do it right from your phone while you're listening to the podcast. You can go to ratethispodcast.com/bulbs. Or use the first link in the show notes to take you straight to Podchaser. Thanks for listening, and thanks for leaving a review. Now, on to the show. Dusty Weiss, ready to talk about one of your broken bulbs?
Yeah, I suppose. I'm ready to shoot. Let's do it.
Okay, so let's talk about the time you made enemies with the TSA and Homeland Security. These are bad people to make enemies with. I want to know how you did it so that I can maybe avoid it. Mind filling us in?
So I was a reporter at WIOD, the wonderful Isle of Dreams in Miami, Florida. And there was a local blogger who was really became a leading voice in this online conspiracy theory. And this one centered on the deployment of those new full-body scanners at the airport. Nowadays, of course, with a little bit more medical study and the better part of a decade of seeing these things in use, people go through these things all the time and don't think a second thing of it. This local blogger claimed to have smuggled a metal box through one of these full-body scanners, and he was touting video of this on his blog as evidence that not only were they dangerous because of the radiation, and they were dangerous because of the naked images of people on the screens, but they were ineffective as well. And this blog post of his got coverage on all the major news networks, CNN, Fox News, MSNBC. And so my assignment editor comes to me and says, hey, we have to cover this story. And I said, I don't want to cover this story. This guy is a conspiracy theorist and a chucklehead to boot. And she said, here's his phone number. Just call him, get him on the record, and then call up the Transportation Security Administration, the TSA, get them on the record refuting what he says, and we'll call it good. You can even frame it as a conspiracy theory, you know, set him up and then have the TSA just come in and say, no, this is complete and utter horse crap. Ignore this guy. And I'm like, okay, that I can deal with. So I call this guy up and he talks my ear off, let him go on for about 10 minutes and then took down his additional contact information, thanked him for his time, and put my phone call into the TSA. And of course, in radio, we have a new deadline every 30 minutes. And so I called the TSA, called him again. We had reliable contacts at the TSA. I don't even get a phone call back. I get an email back from our contact at the TSA. Essentially, what she said was, we are not commenting on this story because we don't want to lend credence to this conspiracy theory. Now, I get where they were coming from, but if there's one thing that drives me up a wall back then, as it does today, I eventually left that job and I went into the world of public relations, and it is bad public relations to let somebody say something, even if it is completely horse crap crazy, and not refute it.
So you're put in a really tough spot. Walk us through that a little bit. What did you end up doing?
I was angry, kind of frustrated, I wanted to do my job. I was going to get taken to the cleaner because I hadn't been able to get somebody from the TSA to go on record with this, thus completing my assignment. If I turned in my assignment with just the crazy conspiracy theory guy in the story and not a voice from the TSA, I'm essentially giving credence to this conspiracy theory, and I don't want to be complicit in that. So frustrated, angry, kind of at my wit's end, I took a screenshot of this email from the TSA spokesperson with whom I'd been in touch, and I sent that screenshot with the name of the person redacted. I sent it to the conspiracy theorist and said to him, here's what the TSA is saying about you right now. They don't want to go on record because they're afraid of giving support to your conspiracy theory. And I did that essentially out of frustration, because in my heart, I felt that this TSA spokesperson should be punished, but also as a tactic, as sort of if I can tell this person, this conspiracy theorist, this, and he puts it out on his blog, it's going to light a fire under her, and now she's going to have to comment on the record, right? But I sent him this thing, and I said, and I gave him a direct quote from it, and I said, you can use this quote in your blog. What I had not counted on him doing was posting a screenshot of my entire email with my identifying information on his blog. Instead of citing me as a source in the media, he cited me by my name, by my organization, and it was clear from the full email that I had sent him, not from the quote that I had asked him to use, but from the full email that he posted, exactly whom at the TSA I was speaking about.
So you accidentally put this person out there. You accidentally support this conspiracy nut blog, and TSA wasn't doing any favors for themselves either. What are the consequences? And did the TSA contact you about this?
No, they didn't bother contacting me. They didn't bother contacting my boss or my boss's boss. They went straight to my boss's boss, which is a thing that you can do when you're the TSA. The big mistake that I made there was trusting someone who had no accountability, no professionalism, and no motivation to do the right thing. That was my mistake. I get called into our program director's office, and he's all around a super good guy, and he's sitting behind his desk, and he's got his arms crossed. And he goes, do you know why I called you in here today? I was pretty sure I knew why I'd been called in there. And I said, does this have to do with the conspiracy nut? And he goes, it does. And he turns around his computer monitor, and it's got the blog post with my screenshotted email in there. And he looks at me and he goes, I don't know what you think you were doing. I think I know what you think you were doing, but you got burned. This guy just burned you down. And I just got off the phone with the regional undersecretary of the TSA calling from their Washington, D.C. office, and they want me to take your job. And I said, oh, shoot, this is a problem. I was pretty certain in that moment that he was going to fire me, but he didn't, because at the end of the day, he had roots in the business too, and he shared my frustration. I did officially get written up by the company. I was called back into his office the next day, and he presented me with my official letter of reprimand and said, I want you to look this over and I want you to sign this. And I looked it over and I said, can we change one thing here? And he says, okay, what's that? And I say, I'd like you to ask me to continue doggedly pursuing sources and leads, but do so with more discretion in the future. And he kind of laughed and he said, okay, I see what you're doing here. Yeah, we'll do that. And essentially what went into my permanent record with the company was that I was dedicated to my job, just a little bit reckless about how I did it. And that was a descriptor that I could live with.
That's fantastic. Wow. Okay. That's a crazy story. One that I don't think many people, if any, are able to replicate, and hopefully they don't try to replicate them.
Would not recommend, no.
Yeah, no, bad idea. So would you say that the ultimate lesson here is be careful and be have a little bit of discretion when you're communicating with people and, you know, in any industry?
I would definitely say that that's a takeaway lesson. Throughout my career, I had a lot of energy and a lot of dedication to what I did as a news reporter, but also a little bit of reckless inexperience that just comes from being the young guy on the roster and being hungry and wanting to prove yourself. But I think ultimately my takeaway from this was that we tend to see everybody as playing by the same rules that we play, and that's just not the case. And in sending a quote to this blogger for him to use on his blog, I assumed that he would apply the same rigorous journalistic standards of what constitutes on the record and what constitutes off the record as I did as a journalist. And in hindsight, that was really foolish of me to assume that somebody with no accountability and nothing to lose, essentially, would be invested in upholding the standards of journalistic integrity. A little bit of my idealism died that day. Ultimately, you can't expect people to play by the same rules that you play by. You have to hold yourself to high ethical standards, but ultimately, you can't trust everyone to do the same.
I appreciate that. I think that's a great lesson to learn. And of course, as we finish up every episode, I like to hear what it is that's working for you now. So would you mind telling us what it is that you're doing and where people can find you?
Well, since then, as I said, I went on, I pivoted in my career, switched into a public relations role and then took a content marketing role for one of the world's largest trade associations. One thing that I did for them was we launched their podcast and it surprised us with how well it did, so much so that I saw a business opportunity. People started ringing my phones and asking me how to make a podcast for their business. And I said, you know what? I bet I could charge a fee, produce professional sounding podcasts for companies, brands, and associations, help them tell their story to their stakeholders, their members, their potential customers. The company is growing. I made my first offer to my first full-time employee this week, in fact, and PodCamp Media is going as strong as ever. We're on the prowl for more new clients, but about to bring on our first Fortune 500 client and launch a project for them. So it's exciting times. Entrepreneur is never a role that I saw myself in, but creating branded podcasts for companies is sort of the perfect synthesis of my background as a radio news reporter, a former journalist, someone who loves telling stories, and someone with a background in marketing and public relations. And it's just everything's come together in that sweet spot, and I'm loving every minute of the entrepreneurial journey here.
It is a lot of fun, and I'll have links for PodCamp Media and all of your social media in the show notes if anybody wants to check that out. So finally, I just want to say, Dusty, thank you for joining me.
It's been a pleasure, Alex. Thanks.
And thank you for listening. Special thank you to Dusty Weiss for joining me and being willing to talk about his broken bulbs. Be sure to check out PodCamp Media and Lead Balloon. Links are in the show notes. You can also leave us a review using the first link in the show notes. Broken Bulbs is a co-production of Williams Redlich and Mecco Radio, and we are, of course, a proud member of the Create Vine. I, Alex Williams, was your host, and the music in this episode was by Brian Claxton and Wesley Thomas. Oh, and thanks again for listening. Mecco.